Hi, Rich.
Hi, Rich. How are you?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks so much for being with us today. What a wonderful film you've put together here. It's I think it's great for sports fans and hockey fans, but it really transcends sports and takes a powerful look at, I think, who we are in the age of smartphones and the internet.
Thank you. That means a lot.
Well, the story here is a fascinating one, and of course, we're up here in Bruins country, so fans have a pretty fond recollection of the 2011 Stanley Cup playoffs. When you got to Game 7 in Vancouver, as you point out in the film, it was a festive mood in the afternoon, a celebration in the streets, and expectations were that what we would see might be similar to what happened after the Olympic gold medal celebration, but of course, in the back of people's minds was what had gone on in 1994.
Absolutely. I think there was a lot of chatter amongst the city. There were things in the press. I think people were hoping that it wouldn't happen, but of course, you know, history can repeat itself, and that's exactly what we did in Vancouver, unfortunately, when we lost Game 7.
And there were people who even suggested that maybe if the media hadn't mentioned it so much, what had gone on in 94, that it wouldn't have been in the minds of the people who were there.
Yes, there was, you know, that's definitely one of the things that we wanted to discuss in the film. And in fact, you know, we heard stories of, you know, a young teenager who was on the island, who knew that something was going to happen, so he actually, like, took a ferry to Vancouver because he wanted to be a part of it. So, you know, the media, Age and I do think that the media played, a role in what happened. And as someone else says in the film, like, you know, the newer generation kind of wanted to have their own riot as well.
Well, the game started close, but then the Bruins got the early lead, and by the time it was 3-0, the mood turned pretty sullen, and it all sparked so quickly, that move from disappointment to violence. How shocking was it to go back and rewatch the videos of what had gone on?
Yeah, it was definitely infuriating for Kat and I to relive that night. For myself, I was actually downtown watching the game, and I remember how things kind of started to unfold. I decided to leave pretty quickly, but I do remember when people were throwing bottles at the screen, and I think that kind of not allowed other people, but it kind of gave other people the idea of, like, oh, maybe I'm going to do something similar to that, or I want to react that way and, like, unleash this frustration I have because we're not going to win Game 7. And just seeing smoke billowing up over the high rises because someone flipped a car, and it really just kind of escalated very quickly. So when Kat and I were sifting through YouTube and finding this archival footage from that night, it was very tough for us to relive that and see the destruction and also, you know, fellow citizens attacking one another.
We're talking with Asia Youngman, Kat Jamie. Their new film, I'm Just Here for the Riot, premieres Tuesday night at 7:30 on ESPN. We'll be streaming at ESPN Plus. Obviously, this hits harder for the two of you because you are Vancouver natives. And what have you come to believe it says about your city?
Oh, man, that's a great question. I think, you know, one of the reasons why we were so drawn to this story was because we were deeply affected by it. Even though it happened over a decade ago, the story never left us. You know, it's a dark stain in our city's history, but I think that's why, you know, it's important to revisit these stories to understand why they happened so they don't happen again. And obviously this is the second time it's happened, and you know, we're very hopeful that one day the Canucks will reach the playoffs. And so we wanted to make sure that, again, this next generation of Vancouverites understand the repercussions of what happens when you participate in something like this. But, you know, one of the reasons why Asia and I wanted to tell the story was because we both needed to understand for ourselves why this happened. Because it's a depressing story in many ways as two people who were, you know, born and raised in Vancouver.
Well, it was the perfect storm of anger, a mob mentality, alcohol, and smartphones, which played such a huge role. There's a very telling statement by somebody who was taking pictures at the time who said that he realized you were changing the scene just by being there taking those pictures.
Yeah,
Absolutely. I think a lot of people were performing when they saw the presence of a smartphone. And when we spoke with one of our subjects in the film, Thomas Stitt, he was downtown recording, and he even, you know, spoke to this in the film, that people were kind of escalating their behavior. They're, you know, deciding to participate in the destruction and the rioting that was happening around them. And so I think although a lot of fingers were pointed towards the people who were rioting, you know, a lot of people were responsible for this as well. Like those who stayed downtown, those who were documenting, taking selfies, they also played a role in the riot continuing on.
Well, and there are two parallel stories in the film that I found so fascinating, the story of the riot and then the story of the online reaction, what became in many ways a mob reaction based on the idea of publicly shaming people.
Yeah, I mean, that was kind of the parallels that we wanted to draw. And I'm really happy to hear that that's what you felt. What was happening, you know, on the streets was really being mirrored online. And it's, you know, what we see kind of today happening almost every day, sort of just like a new, a new online witch hunt. And this is, you know, back in 2011, this was the first kind of social media witch hunt. This was the first, it's known as the first smartphone riot. It's known as the most documented riot in history at one point. Obviously, that has changed since then. But, it was the beginning of a new phenomenon.
Well, and I couldn't help but watch and see echoes of what we witnessed here in America in Washington, D.C. on January 6th of 2021.
Yeah, I think it's very apparent that, you know, we haven't necessarily learned everything that we should around these types of events, and especially when we think of the presence of social media. On one hand, you know, I think cancel culture and social surveillance has really gotten more prevalent in our society. But at the same time, you know, although we see events like even the 2011 Stanley Cup hockey riot, you would think that we would maybe know how to behave in these types of situations or not participate in these types of events, but we tend to kind of repeat our mistakes over and over again by exactly what happened at the Capitol.
There in Vancouver, has there been any level of forgiveness for those, especially really young people who got caught up in things in 2011?
I wouldn't say necessarily so. I think the event, you know, it's a very shameful event in our city's history. And so it kind of got, I think we both kind of felt like the event got swept under the rug, and that's why it's taken so long to tell the story. You know, Asia and I, when we met and started brainstorming this idea, we were like, hey, maybe it is time. Like maybe, you know, enough time has passed that we can revisit and look at the story, and people would be more open to sharing what their experience was.
Well, it is a phenomenal film, a remarkable story, and I think lessons that we can learn from all of it here in the internet age, in the smartphone age. And there's certainly room for accountability in the world, but also, as several people point out, young people make mistakes. That's part of the growth process. And for earlier generations, you made those mistakes without there being often a permanent record.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was a big thing for Kat and I, was to approach it with that lens and that understanding. And of course, you know, thinking about how different this generation is now with the presence of smartphones and how you can make a mistake, you know, or a split decision that's not the greatest decision, it being caught on camera and put up online and having it essentially ruin your life. So we were very mindful of that. We wanted to approach it with an empathetic lens, but also not let people kind of the excuse for this type of behavior as well.
I'm Just Here for the Ride. It premieres Tuesday night at 7:30 on ESPN, streaming on ESPN Plus. A wonderful film. Kat Jamie, Asia Youngman, thank you so much for talking with us today.
Thank you, Rich.
Thanks.